I think it's wonderful that Robert has finished and that he was able to go to school in Alabama so he didn't have to learn a second language. I tell folks, and it's the truth, mine starts getting thick the moment I'm heading south and cross the North Carolina line. It just comes back automatically. I'm from Mobile, Alabama. He's a northerner. But he's not the only graduate we have today, because this week, after much groaning and pressing, Michael Papazov finished his master's degree. Woohoo! Now he gets to say to his wife, "Once I was the student, now I am the master." Of course, that kind of talk of cause you to require a doctor. But then you give her two more years and you'll have one right there in the house. Yes, Svetlana and I are trying to feign enthusiasm for those of you who have completed your degree while we labor forward to finish our own. No, it's not feign. I'm happy for all. You know, how many of you, just look at this, how many of you right now are involved in secondary education? Just throw your hands up. Look at that. Look at that. What a smart bunch. You know, I think Robin has got, I believe, every one of her teachers is involved in education. They're all taking child development education stuff. Isn't that amazing?
I'm not in Alabama anymore.
Christmas. Now, I don't mean this. I'm just going to say it for effect. Don't you say happy holiday to me. It's called Christmas because of? Very good. You are smart. And don't let them intimidate you about it. We were here first. But Christmas, that time of year when we get to explain to those with childlike understanding what this is all about. And by childlike understanding, I mean that some people just don't quite get it yet. They don't connect with the celebration. You know, they don't even get to talk about Jesus in school anymore or sing any of those carols that we sing. And our own kids, we model and we teach and we let them participate with us in this stuff. And they still end up singing like, you know, the Sunday before Christmas, they're singing the children's favorite Christmas carol, Silent Night, Holy Night. And sister, little sister hears little brother say, "Sleep in heavenly beans." And she goes, "No, it's peas." I knew it was a vegetable of some kind. You know, we grow up in this culture, we see this stuff, you know, and it just takes a while to get it. Like, we read the Christmas scriptures in December. Matthew 1:18, here's a good one. "Now the birth of Jesus was as follows." How many of you read over that the rest of the year? Come on. You're doing your daily Bible reading, you come, I know that one, check. I'll read it in December. Somebody will read it to me. "The birth of Jesus was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit." Now, right there, your friends start rolling their eyes. Before they came together, she's pregnant. You believe that stuff? How many of you believe that stuff? "And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he'd considered this, a big dog showed up and talked to him. An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit.'" God got her pregnant. Go tell that to your mother, girls. Don't lose the humanity in this thing. We're talking probably a little girl about 13, 14 years old. She's had an encounter with the living presence of God who has announced to her previously, I have some good news and some bad news. You're going to have a baby boy. Way ahead of schedule. And then she has to go explain all of this stuff. How would you like to be the mother on the receiving end of that story? Or better yet, the father's being disgraced publicly. Or the boyfriend who'd already given you the ring. How would you like to explain that to them?
God did it.
Now, you understand, that was not a typical explanation, right? You've got another one. What is it?
The devil made me do it.
Yeah, try passing that off when you stand before the Lord. She'll bear a son, and you'll call his name Jesus. Jesus. Why? For he will save his people from their sins. Now, all this took place to fulfill what Isaiah had said several hundred years before. So Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name answer is Jesus. And they called him Jesus. So we read the Christmas scriptures and we get the Christmas cards. Any of you received Christmas cards yet? Here's the big question. Any of you received non-electronic Christmas cards yet? Oh, okay, yeah. I got my annual Christmas greeting and blessing from Mahesh and Bonnie Chavda and the staff at ANC. Every year, all the partners get the same card.
Our children are married to one another. At least sign it.
If I see him over the holidays, put your name on here. Now, in those days, there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all men should return to the city of residence to be taxed. Woohoo. And everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. Does anybody not know this story, or do I have to read it to you? Is this the best you can do, Lord? While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, let me tell you something. That doesn't say it. Listen to this. And while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son. And she wrapped him in clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them at the inn. Any of you boys ever been in the labor room? I'm sorry. Any of you men ever been in the labor room? Okay. Now, you got to have a little bit of experience with life to really read between the lines here. We're talking about push on the hay. We're talking about the animals backing up because somebody is screaming. You understand? Don't lose the humanity of the story by the poetry of the prose. These were real people living a really difficult situation. How many of you know barns are not known for their sanitary conditions? Mm-hmm. Even your midwife would not come into that one. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were petrified. Have you ever thought, I'd sure like to see an angel? You ever thought that? You ever said to the Lord, Lord, I'd like to see an angel? Have you? Y'all better go and read what happens when angels show up. Because it's not like, can we get a picture together? It's like, don't slay me. They were terrified. But the angel said to them, and angels usually get to, don't forget to tell the humans, do not be afraid. Because that's the response they typically get. So the angel says, do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people. A little ticker tape underneath quoting scriptures, you know. For today in the city of David, there's been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign for you. You'll find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Doesn't that sound picturesque? God was just born in a barn, wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men and with whom he's pleased. And so when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, did what just happen really happen? Did any of y'all see what I just saw here, what I just heard? Y'all do understand that watching your flocks by night does not typically include eternity show up in time and space. They had a moment, okay? We read right over this and they just get up. Oh, let's go see. Let me tell you something. They were terrified. And then more of those big guys showed up singing. Is there any other place in Scripture where the angels are reported as singing, or is this a first? As far as I know, this was the first. But it must have been pretty good music. Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see the thing that's happened which the Lord has made known to us. And so they came in a hurry and they found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. And when they'd seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at this thing which was told by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. So when the Christmas card comes, what do you think of? That little picture there. And all the camels reverently bowed. And the sheep going, ah. Because when Christmas comes, we take it and we reduce it to a Christmas card. Or what? We don't sing that song in this congregation. A rat-a-tat-tat. No. We put on our choir robes and we stand there in front of the director and they go, little baby Jesus, born in Beth. And they make you hold it. Little baby Jesus, born in Bethlehem. Little baby Jesus, born to be the Savior of the world for little baby, you get it. We take all this stuff and we move it into imagery and poetry. And it becomes a real myth rather than a myth of reality. What was the whole baby Jesus thing about? Have you ever greeted someone or they have greeted you by name and either you or they said, why, look, it's Lanny Clark. In the flesh. You ever done that? Heard it? What was the little baby Jesus thing about? It was about incarnation. God in flesh. No wonder people struggle with this story. Okay? See, incarnation's wisdom was this. God had a secret, and he didn't tell anybody. You know, you can confess your sins to him because he's really good at holding a secret. In fact, he's got a delete button. As soon as you and he deal with it, he just hits delete, and neither one of you need to remember it anymore. But Paul says that God had a secret he didn't tell anybody. He says to the Corinthians, he says, we do speak wisdom among those who are mature, a mature wisdom. However, it's a wisdom not of the rulers of this age who are passing away, but we speak God's wisdom in a mystery. The hidden wisdom of God predestined before the ages to our glory. Predestined when? Before time began, God was playing, I've got a secret. You old guys get it, the new ones never heard of it. The wisdom which none of the rulers of this age understood, for if they'd understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. What was the incredible secret? Well, listen to this. In Philippians, this testimony is given about the pre-creation Christ, who made an agreement, you can read about in Psalm chapter 2, that he would divest himself of all of his pre-creation attributes and come in the form of human beings. How do human beings get here? Your little baby Jesus is not born in Bethlehem? Although he existed in the form of God, he did not regard equality with God a thing to be held on to. But he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason, God highly exalted him and bestowed upon him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, they will declare that Jesus is the Christ to the glory of the Father. What was the secret? The secret was that the Creator would come in the form of the creature. Nobody saw that coming because it was a secret. So where did God hide his son from darkness? The baby in the barn. How many of you know kings are not born in barns? Suppose darkness was going to bring his son forth. Where do you suppose he'd take him? John Hopkins? Well, Mayo Clinic? What do you think? Would there be guards surrounding? Would the best physicians and nurses on the planet show up for the birth? Would there be headlines? Would there be crowds outside the hospital? Would there be live from? What does God do? Slips him in under the radar. Nobody but the select few recorded in the first in Matthew and Luke. These were the only guys God made privy to it. But in our incarnation had a purpose. Why did he have to come in the form of man? Well, recently, Hilton was preaching this magnificent presentation of how Adam got duped. Y'all remember that? It's a two-parter, and you really need to get it for your library. Just play it until you own it at the corpuscle level, okay? Adam really messed things up big time. And somebody called the last Adam needed to show up to remedy this, because here's what took place. Adam and his posterity got kidnapped and were being held for ransom. darkness had come in and grabbed all of God's sons and daughters and took them into a dark place and held them prisoner there. They could not even remember who their father was. They didn't know why they were here, and so they busied themselves trying to be somebody by whatever definition they came up with. The top dog in the music industry, the number one drug dealer in the state. They were busy scrambling for an identity because when sin cut them off from their identity, they forgot who they were. And all this time, they were held in darkness. In the Word, in the beginning, was the Word. And the Word was with God, and God was the Word. And the same was in the beginning with God, and without Him was not anything made that was made. He who did it all came to finish it completely. As a baby in a barn. Now, I'm guessing you couldn't think that up. Because most of us, unless we've seen, what is it, The Incredibles, we don't really picture superheroes as children. But God sent a superhero in the form of a baby. And Colossians says He rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. Because where were we held? We were held in darkness under the dominion of Satan. And God comes in with light to open our eyes and lead us out of darkness into light from one dominion to another. And the transition includes the forgiveness of all sin and the reception of an inheritance by faith in Christ. That inheritance is the restoration of our identity as sons of God and our destiny as His representatives in the earth wherever He sends you. Merry Christmas. Now, the thing is, we have to go through kind of a metamorphosis in our thinking because, can you guys pull up this... this passage of Scripture in Colossians 2, 9 through 14. I spent a lot of time over the years trying to drum something. Oh, I'm sorry I use that word. Beat something into your head. Don't go there. Too late, you're there. And it has to do with once you come into the spiritual rebirth process, you're not like you were before. Okay? Most of the memories you have at that point, you say, Jesus, I acknowledge my life's a mess. I've made a mess out of this. You promise you can unmess the mess I made by making me something other than messy. However your heart says that stuff, you say it and presto, you're born again. Your spirit is reconnected to the living God. And you get this, it's real thing going on. But you've still got dirt in your gray matter. Crummy thinking. And so I spend time trying to help drag you by the brain into a new understanding. So we're going to read this passage. I'm going to read this passage of Scripture, and you are going to say these words, in Him or with Him. Whenever I get to it, and I'm going to pause and you're going to say it. And I don't want to hear, in Him, with Him. Emphatically, this is the truth. I am, and I am, all right, here we go. For all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form, and thank you.
I don't know. What are you doing? I don't know. What are you doing?
Verse 11. I'm sorry. Verse 10. And you have been made complete. And He is the head over all rule and authority. And you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. The removal of the body of flesh by the circumcision of Christ. And having been buried in baptism, in which you were also raised up through faith in the working of God who raised Him from the dead. And when you, were dead in your transgressions and uncircumcision of your flesh, He made you alive together, having forgiven us all our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of death consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and He's taken it all out of the way, having nailed it in His own body in the cross. You're free. You're free. Merry Christmas. You don't have to be that person anymore. This gift, when you open it, just keeps giving and giving. It's like that little package you open, and it starts to self-inflate, and it just never stops inflating. Because every time you think you see it, there's another thing that pops open. You go, I didn't know that was in there. It's the gift that keeps on giving. It's your responsibility to see to it that you don't forget what the baby in the barn did for you. Paul opens the passage we just read with this statement, see to it. What does it mean to see to it? Make it happen. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. We have been taken captive by vain philosophy ever since the first century. Okay? People keep trying to put on us the responsibility for us to get free, when Jesus is the one who sets you free. Religion is the thing you hide behind because you're not sure of your relationship to the Father. Religion makes you go through the rigmarole to try to prove to Him that you can be a good person. You don't have a chance of being a good person. You are in sin until He sets you free, and then His righteousness is stamped across your forehead. And when Father looks at you, that's my righteous child. God had a plan. And His intention was, in sending the master of the universe, He was going to create His own Justice League of superheroes. You have been recruited. Here's what Jesus says about it. Some people say there's no commission in John, in the Gospel of John, they say there's no commission. Listen to this one. Jesus is saying to the Father in John 17, as you sent me, so I am sending them. Good investigation for you is, how did God send him? And then that's how you're being sent. Now, for their sakes, I sanctify myself that they may also be sanctified in the truth. No, in truth. Because the Spirit that occupies you doesn't tell you the truth. He is the truth that speaks. I don't ask for these 11 only, but for those who will believe on me through their word, that they may, listen, that they may You are listening. God bless your little heart. Sometimes I think you're not listening. That they may be one as you and I are one. You, Father, are in me, and I am in you, that they may also be in us. That sounds like a Paula Deen recipe. You take a Cornish game hen, and you shove it in a duck. You shove the duck in a pheasant. You shove the pheasant in the turkey. You wrap it all in bacon and you cook it and you go see Jesus a lot quicker. That they also may be in us, so that the world may believe you sent me. The glory which you've given me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. Listen to this. I in them, you in me. Picture that now. You've seen enough movies to see how this works. I in them, you in me. Jesus says, it is the Father in me who does the works. Okay? How does he do that now? How does he make you part of his justice league? Well, the identical Holy Spirit who executed victory through the baby in the barn is the same one who equips you to continue the rescue mission of returning God's lost sons to the household. He gives you a shield of faith and a sword of the Spirit and a helmet of salvation. Superheroes have weapons, right? And he gives you power. I saw Green Lantern.
I've seen Iron Man.
I've seen Spider-Man. Wait, he's on the other team. He gives you the power of the Holy Spirit and the authority of his name. I command you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Loose them. Come.
I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I hope I make it to heaven. Jesus, please don't be mad at me because I did something naughty yesterday.
Stop that. Just reach over and slap somebody way out. Somebody needs it. Brandon taught on forgiveness. It's all right. It's all right. The name above every name, above all rule and authority and power and dominion, above every name, in this age and the age to come, that's who you represent. And you cannot die. You can just change uniforms, but you cannot be killed because the eternal spirit resides in you for eternity. In the flesh, incarnation, in the flesh, God gives you gifts inside your flesh. They are to be put on display through your flesh.
Oh, I don't want to get in the flesh.
Too late. You're in the flesh. God intends for you to be in the flesh because people in the flesh he wants restored to him by the Spirit needs to see that somebody in the flesh can demonstrate the Spirit. It's the plan. It was always the plan that God would be put on display in time and space through people of flesh. Our job is to bring his culture into manifestation in the earth. And that culture comes with words and with works. That's why we're stirring up the gifts in the coming year. Some of you need to be educated. Some of us need to be renewed. But I promise you this, on the days I say that we're going to give that day to manifestations of the Holy Spirit, he will show up and he will manifest himself. And I promise you, he will do everything in his power to offend your mind. Because you don't get that by reason. You get it by grace. God ever offended your mind? I don't know what's left to be offended in mine, but he's entitled to it. Because I have been through that met. Alrighty. I tell you what let's do. Let's keep buying Christmas gifts. Let's keep watching Hallmark movies. I'm out. But I know some of you do. Yeah, she does. I can hear the TV from the other room and know it's on the wrong channel. You gotta come watch this with me. Not a chance. My emotion's not going down to the next commercial, okay? And it's getting harder and harder. I'm getting softer and softer. I can cry. I'm just embarrassed. How often tears come to my eyes now. I'm just embarrassed. And it's not because I'm not designed to cry. It's just I'm particular about where I will give my emotional life. And Hallmark ain't one of them. All right, so let's continue to watch Hallmark movies, hit the royal we. Y'all go ahead. And let's continue to give gifts and say Merry Christmas. Every time somebody says Happy Holiday, just say Merry Christmas. And say, don't say that, it offends me. Then don't say Happy Holiday to me because that offends me. I thought you said you were a Christian. I am a Golden Gloves Christian. Don't y'all do that now. I'm just teasing. Oh, Lord. Would you like to stand up so we can all hear this interruption? Okay, so you can say it. Apparently you can say Merry Christmas to pet owners. That's good to know. I know some people who own pets. All right, let's wrap this thing up. We have the most extraordinary story in the universe. We have the most incredible God that is beyond imagination. We have an amazing investment of that spirit within us. And we have the opportunity for his reality to leak out everywhere we walk. As you get ready for your 2012 New Year's resolutions, let me encourage you to put right at the top how to hear God guaranteed to build your confidence that you can hear. The manifestation of spiritual gifts to demonstrate that you do hear. And let's see where the Lord will put you in 2012 on assignment for his reality in somebody else's life. How's that for a deal? Now, if God's not real to you, we can fix that because he wants to be real to you. Why don't y'all stand and we'll go on with the rest of the morning, which includes, I think, snacks and coffee and sitting around talking with people about what you heard today in the connection group. I forgot to ask, we got any people visiting from out of town for the holidays? Texas is here. And North Carolina is here. And New York is here. I'm confused. Texas and North Carolina don't get applause, but New York does. New York, really?
Start spreading the...
Forget it. No, really. Christmas, Jesus.
Start spreading the news.
Okay, look. How many of you are traveling this week? Okie dokie. Keep your hands up. Father, I want you to see these hands. These are people we love, and we ask that angels guard them in their travels and bring them safely home to us. But they are your ambassadors. I pray that your wisdom and grace will be upon their lips as they travel, and that wherever they go in this holiday season, the Merry Christmas they speak has an energy because of the eternal spirit that resides within them. Make them, Father, a living testimony to what Christmas lights really look like, because these glow in the dark. For the rest of us, Father, who will be celebrating together, may we decompress from the year and take the remaining days of this year just to party and celebrate and fellowship and affirm and gift give and love and come to the new year with a sense of refreshment and peace by your Spirit. For those under the sound of my voice at this moment, Lord, who have not yet made connection with God the Holy Spirit and the reality of the living Savior who is the master of the universe and who will require all to bow before Him by the sheer revelation of His glory. May we, Father, engage that process now. I ask You, Holy Spirit, to search our hearts and bring to us the clarity of the revelation of Jesus Christ in increasing measures, beginning in this moment and this day for the rest of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen and Merry Christmas. We'll see y'all Saturday night.